I've been part walking slowly so Maynard can get back to turn on the microphone. Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is Good Shepherd Sunday. I was not aware of that until I started preparing my words this week. And I came to realize that in every lectionary year, A, B, and C, Psalm 23 is the Old Testament reading on the fourth Sunday of Easter. The other texts change, but Psalm 23 is always one of the texts. So some churches do celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday on an annual basis. I can't say why the decision was made to use Psalm 23 every year, but I can very readily say I like the idea. It's one of the most cherished and frequently quoted passages of Scripture. The image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd resonates with us. It can be a very comforting one. It can also be an inspiring one. In my words today, I'll be looking at some of the characteristics of shepherds and sheep in general, and then more specifically as Jesus the Good Shepherd. I will also share a part of what it means for us to be sheep-like in our following of Jesus. What is also our responsibility as Christians? A shepherd is someone who makes their living looking after sheep. The profession has existed for thousands of years and continues today. Shepherds lead the sheep to a good grazing pasture and to non-stagnant water. They look after the sheep and protect them from danger, from predators. When a sheep is lost, the shepherd goes out to search for it. Apparently, sheep don't have very good vision, and their eyesight is best when their heads are down grazing. They also don't have very good depth perception. This may be a part of them getting lost and having to be found. According to some of the sources I read, many shepherds are especially devoted to their sheep. Some talk or sing to them. I have an image of David, the shepherd, singing the Psalms as part of his devotion to God and part of his conversation with God. But his singing might have also been comforting to the sheep. I read that some shepherds are also very attached to their sheep and give them a name. My brothers, who were dairy farmers, gave some of their cows a name. I think it was more because my nieces wanted names for the cows. But it was also more of their emotional response to the cows and their behaviors or their stubbornness. In Jesus' time, shepherds used specific tools to help them in their tasks. In Scripture, we read of both a rod and a staff. There are two different pieces of equipment, and a shepherd might carry both. A rod is a relatively short club-like device to fight off the predators, or is also used to prod the sheep and give them a direction. At times, the rod was also used to help the shepherd keep the sheep in line. A willing sheep might respond to the prodding, but a stubborn, strong-willed sheep will not. A staff is longer and thinner. It has a crook or a hook at the end. The staff is used to gently but firmly hook the sheep to rescue them from harm and bring it back to the others. The shepherds also use the tool, the rod or the staff, to account for the sheep. The shepherds held it out, and as the sheep passed under the rod or staff, they were counted. The rod and staff brought security to the sheep. These weren't instruments of harm, but were used for guidance and protection. Sheep are flock animals. They like to be together. They don't seem to do as well on their own. There's safety in numbers, and sheep seem to know this. So they tend to spend a lot of time together. And I imagine they recognize the benefit of that. It's also my understanding that sheep have very good hearing and direct their ears in direction of what the sound is. But they are especially good at hearing and discerning the voice of the shepherd. In Jesus' time, it was typical for shepherds to gather together with other shepherds, particularly maybe in a water hole, and it'd be noisy and chaotic. But at the end of the day, the sheep would follow their own shepherd to a safe place to sleep. In the midst of all that chaos and all those competing voices, the sheep would hear their shepherd's voice and follow that shepherd. There would also be times when the sheep were transitioned from the field to a fenced-in area or a fold. It's my understanding that several flocks of sheep might be in one sheepfold, but when the sheep were then taken back to the pasture, the sheep again knew the voice of the shepherd and would only follow his or her voice. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd was based on familiarity. Sheep recognize their shepherd and won't follow a stranger's voice. It's also my understanding that sheep are natural followers. They don't like to be pushed. They prefer to be led. In comparing cows and sheep, it's noted that they are directed differently. Cows are herded from behind. The cowboys or herders yell and prod the cows to get them along in the right direction. If a shepherd were to stand behind a sheep and make noises, the sheep would then try to get behind the shepherd again, rather than moving forward. Though it might be debated whether sheep or cows are more intelligent, that's also debated, but the sheep trusted their shepherd and knew the voice of their shepherd, and that's how they were led. Without the shepherd, sheep were very vulnerable. They were small, vulnerable to predators. They were also vulnerable to wandering off and getting lost. There are many references to shepherds and sheep throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel, as part of his prophesying the word of God, states, "For thus says the Lord, I myself will search for the sheep, and I will sort them out. As shepherds sort out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep, so will I sort out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them." Boy, it's hard to read both of these at the same time. It's like, yeah, especially when you're 63. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, in all the habited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their pasture. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed on the rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strays, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Isaiah, in his prophesying the coming of the Messiah, states, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will guard the lambs in his arms and will carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." And we, of course, have Psalm 23 with its imagery of God's caring, leading, protecting, and comforting us into eternity. And Matthew and Luke were drawn to the parable of the shepherd searching for the lost sheep. This serves as a metaphor for God searching for us and rejoicing when we repent and turn away from sin and are in a committed relationship with Christ. We also have Jesus' words as we read in John 10, where he both declares himself as the gatekeeper for the sheep and the shepherd of the sheep. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus' words comparing the shepherd to the hired hand who runs away are thought to be the comparison of himself to the leaders, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. He was referencing those who were thought to be leading for their own selfish interests, rather than a sense out of caring or love for those they were leading. Some hired hands work for wages as a main consideration, rather than the well-being of those who they were leading or protecting. In addition, Jesus' words were again a prediction of his upcoming death. Because of his love for his sheep, he was choosing to lay down his life for the flock, for us. Jesus wasn't just laying his life down for the Jews, but others who did not yet belong to the flock in the fold. In his death and resurrection, he also became the gate through which we might enter eternal life. Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection are all examples of his shepherding, both protecting and leading those who follow him. But we also continue to have Jesus' presence in our lives through the Spirit. We continue to be provided for, protected, and cared for if we follow Jesus' voice. We can find reassurance in the knowledge that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with us, guiding our steps and shielding us from harm. He knows us by name. We find comfort in the reality and in Jesus' words, but also in the visual images we have of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We have what I consider to be the traditional image, as well as several other images I found to be inviting. I was especially drawn to the pictures that had Jesus either looking at the sheep or holding the lamb or smiling. That's how I imagine Jesus. Just acknowledge it's a little harder to find images with darker skin. I was also intrigued by a picture that didn't necessarily show Jesus as a shepherd, but was also a comforting image. Whether in a hospital bed or otherwise, sometimes we can imagine ourselves in Jesus' arms that way. In understanding and embracing Jesus as the Good Shepherd, our primary response is to follow. In following, we open ourselves to accepting Jesus' guidance, leadership, and love. We are given the privilege of following Jesus' voice as we read Scripture and interpret it through our knowledge of Jesus and Jesus' love. Through the power of the Spirit, we can also hear Jesus' voice in our thoughts and prayers, the quiet voice of reassurance and direction. We all need to feel safe and secure and believe that we matter. We need to know Jesus cares for us and loves us. That's not being selfish or driven by our ego. That's being human. We all need to matter. Though there may be times we're tempted to be the independent sheep who tries to find their own path, but in doing so leaves itself open to danger. However, we are wise to remind ourselves over and again that Jesus is ready and willing to be our shepherd every day. We are called to repent from our sins and be led by the Good Shepherd. We're also called to shepherd others and show love and compassion to them. As the 1 John 3 passage tells us, we know Jesus loves us because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for others, for brothers and sisters. God's love abides in us when we see someone in need and provide help. We're to love not only in our words and our speech, but in deed. We're to follow Jesus' commandment to love one another. I believe it's a fitting conclusion to these thoughts to read together Psalm 23. Though in other scriptures I chose to use the Revised Standard Version, it's hard for me not to go back to the King James Version in a liturgical reading. I realize not everyone grew up with the King James Version, but some of us did. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.